Welcome, podcast listeners, to Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host for this show, Phoenix, and I'd like to welcome you one and all. I'm lucky enough to be joined by yet another awesome guest, Ryan Dewhurst. Ryan, could you introduce yourself to the Hacker Public Radio audience?
Yeah, certainly. Hello, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name's Ryan Dewhurst. I'm an ethical hacking for computer security student at Northumbria University. I've worked on a few open source projects, probably the most popular one being Damn Vulnerable Web App. I've done a little bit of open source work for Nicktor, W3AF, and another project of mine called ScreenStamp.
Okay. First and foremost, Ryan, I'm really grateful that you could hop on the line with me here. I suppose the first question that I have for you is, you know, what inspired you to start a project like Damn Vulnerable Web App, and kind of bolted onto that, now, how would you best describe to the Hacker Public Radio audience what actually is Damn Vulnerable Web App?
Yeah, if before we start, would it be okay if I give a quick disclaimer?
Yeah, of course. That'd be okay. Yeah, that's fine. Go for it.
Fantastic. I'd just like to say that, that obviously my views are my own. They don't represent the views of anyone else. For example, like my universities. That's all really.
Okay. And carrying on with the question.
Yeah, it actually started last year, about December last year. I wanted to get started. I wanted to learn more about web application security. I had the books and everything, just not the practical knowledge. So I thought the best way to learn web application security was to actually build one myself. And in the process, I made it insecure and secure at the same time, which sort of taught me how to make a secure application. I think the best way to learn is sort of hands-on, practical, and it also makes it legal as well. You know, you're doing it on your own machine, local host, not getting into trouble at all. So basically, it's, as the name suggests, it's a web application that's really vulnerable. Not only that, it has lots of features in there for people to teach web application security or people to learn web application security. Features such as we have the security level, lets you go from low, medium to high levels. Low being no security, medium being bad security, and high being should be unhackable. In theory, not always the case. And there's other features. It's got PHP IDS installed on there, which can enable and disable, and lots of other things as well.
So really, the idea of really the inspiration for Damn Vulnerable Web App was something legal for you to practice your skills on.
Exactly. Yeah. I think at the time I was messing around with Python, building brute force scripts, brute force HTML forms. I had nothing to test my scripts on legally, so I put Damn Vulnerable Web App together so then I could, you know, test my tools and improve them. And then I thought, well, I could extend this and sort of practice my SQL injection skills. So I put an SQL injection on there, and it sort of went from there.
Okay. I mean, but who is Damn Vulnerable Web App aimed for?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, sorry. Who would you say Damn Vulnerable Web App is aimed towards then?
I'd say mainly it's aimed towards the students. People want to learn web application security. It can be as easy or as hard as you want it to be with the security levels. There's also helps and tips throughout the application. But I'd say it's definitely for the newcomers to web application security to test out their skills on, and get better at. It's not so much finding the vulnerabilities, it's more, you know, the exploitation of the vulnerabilities, and maybe also combining the different vulnerabilities to, you know, to pawn a box, if you will.
I mean, it seems to me what it's really good at is enabling you to produce, you know, use different vulnerability scanners per se, and actually use to build your skill up at using tools to find those similar vulnerabilities that you've deployed within Damn Vulnerable Web app. Carry on, sorry, mate.
Sorry, that's the good thing about it. You, not only can you practice your skills on there, you can fire tools against it, see how they compare, see what they miss, tweak them, see if they pick up anything better, or just to learn how the actual tool works itself.
Okay. I mean, it seems to me that almost it's an evolving project that, you know, what you started off with by default will get bigger and bigger and bigger as more people start throwing more tools and more ideas and more hacks at it. Am I right in thinking that? Has this project grown quite a lot since you first started it?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I started off in December last year. I'd say I kept it for myself for a few months before releasing it. I didn't think maybe no one else would find it useful apart from myself, but I put it out there anyway, and I got loads of good feedback. So I thought, well, you know, this may be a project worth expanding. So I did a lot more work on it. I got to version 0.104 pretty much on my own with a few suggestions. And then from 1.04, I managed to get a lot of talented people involved as well. That's when the community really grew. And we managed to get 1.05 out, which is the latest version, which is out now, which has come a long way from that first beta version back in December.
So you have an open source community kind of behind you, and obviously you're working with them as well. So you already have a community behind you working with you as well. That's kind of really awesome, right? I mean, is that sort of the benefits you were looking at by making Damn Vulnerable Web App open source? I'm right in thinking that it's released under GPL version 2, or is it 3, or have I got that completely wrong?
Version 3 off the top of my head without having a look. I'm not too sure whether it's 2 or 3, to be honest, but I think it's 3. Yeah, that was a general idea. Sort of get it out there, get people contributing. They're getting, you know, their names out there, because I've got their links on Damn Vulnerable Web App. They're getting to better their skills, and, you know, it's just great to get involved and build a community up.
Okay. I mean, I suppose it's kind of a hard question to ask you, but what was the biggest lesson that you learned from starting the Damn Vulnerable Web App project?
The biggest lesson that I learned, let me try and think about this one. I think I learned the best thing I learned was the actual security itself. Maybe PHP is in itself isn't insecure, but the coding is insecure. That's probably the biggest thing that I learned, that it's not PHP itself, but it's how the developers use it which makes it insecure.
Oh, so in kind of like your opinion with web applications, then, that is it fair to say that maybe the developers need to start testing their skills using Damn Vulnerable Web App?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, one of the main developers, apart from myself, that I had working on Damn Vulnerable Web App is actually a web application developer himself. So he definitely learned a lot about security from me, and I learned a lot about, you know, developing from himself with PHP. So it's definitely, developers can learn from it and learn to secure their applications. There's a view source button where you can compare the low security, medium, and high security source code. So you can see exactly what's making the application secure and what's making it insecure. So it's very easy to sort of, you know, see what's going on there.
I mean, I've played around with it a little bit, and I've, you know, first and foremost, I think it's a really good project, and anyone who's interested in either learning how to use tools like Nessus and so on and so forth should definitely download a copy of it. But I've also sat there and thought that this would be a really good project for developers to be shown in some ways what not to do. Do you know what I mean? And in some ways, you know, if you were looking at doing this is maybe a viable solution here. Because am I right in thinking that the high security stuff is actually more to do with you're not using any third-party programs or anything like that? It's to do with how the code was rewritten, almost.
Yeah, it's not even rewriting the code. It's just adding code in there to make it secure. It's just sort of like sanitizing user input, which is a big, you know, security flaw within web applications. So it's just sort of sanitizing that input, sanitizing the output, you can use the code on there as examples, and you can definitely use those within your own applications. I mean, it's been tested daily by, you know, hundreds of students. So if they can get past it, then let me know. Then I fix the bug. So it's probably very secure.
It's an interesting concept that what your bugs are is actually secure, is being secure. You know, it's a great concept.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if you would kind of, is there anything that you would change about how you would do the project if you know with the experience that you've picked up now and what you've learned? If you were approached and said, right, we want you to do Damn Vulnerable Web App 2, and we want you to take all the lessons that you learned from Damn Vulnerable Web App, apply it to this project, is there anything that screams out to you that you would do differently?
I would probably get the application more mature before releasing it to the community. I'm not sure if, from looking back, that probably would have been a benefit to me, because when it matured, that's when I got the most people involved in it. They took it more seriously. But I'm not sure, looking back, it seems like a benefit if I would have released it more mature, but because it's the only one I've really released myself, I wouldn't be sure if that would be a benefit or not.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I'll shoot myself in the foot because I gave you a swerve ball there, because I was interested in you know, it seems in some ways that it's a young project, but it seems that it's starting to you know, grow fast, you know, and mature and learn lessons very, very quickly. I mean, I was shocked mm-hmm. when you told me earlier on that the project itself isn't really that old. You know, when did you say, December last year?
Yep, December last year I started it, just for myself, really. I released it in December, so I must have started it a few months before. So yeah, it's still a young project. I mean, it's under a year, 12 months old. It's come a long way since then, and hopefully will go a long way in the next 12 months. I'm currently taking I released 105 on the 3rd of September, so not so long ago, after 3 months' work on it. So I'm currently taking a month away from it to get settled into university, and I'm going to get bang into it again and get the next version out there.
Now, where can Hacker Public Radio guys go and find Damn Vulnerable Web App then?
Yeah, we have it. It has its own website, which is quite new. I released it about a month ago. It's dvwa.co.uk. Or you can go on the SourceForge project page, which is https://sourceforge.net/projects/dvwa. And on there you can get the SVN and download the unstable version, you know, the production version. On the website we've got forums on there, we've got a blog, so you can get involved in the community and sort of maybe give feedback, ideas and stuff like that.
Talking about that, I mean, it's well documented, my love for the open source community and the great things that can be achieved by the letting something free and letting people run with ideas. How can say, the average Joe listening to us today, how can they get involved with the Damn Vulnerable Web App project?
Yeah, I mean, anyone's welcome to get involved, no matter what your skill set or your knowledge is. The best way, really, is just to download it, have a play with it. If you have any suggestions, maybe some features you'd like adding, maybe you found a bug that shouldn't be a bug in there, what you can do is you can go on the dvwa.co.uk forums, put a post in there, let us know about it. And if you're serious, you want to contribute lots of code to the project, we'll give you SVN access, and you can start contributing code to it as well.
Sorry about that. The is the scope for people who maybe are not so technical in nature, but you know, maybe much like myself, where you know, be happy to sit down and work with that vulnerable web app and maybe produce documentation like how-to guides and setup guides and stuff like that. Have you got lots of documentation there, or are you needing hands with that as well? Or?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, DVW is still a young project. The documentation, we have had some people do bits and bobs here and there, but we don't have a definite sort of documentation guide put together at the moment. So yes, if there's anyone out there, you know, who wants to put some documentation together, maybe document the different vulnerabilities, how they work, how to exploit them, and stuff like that. That would be great.
You'll get past kudos from the community.
Yeah, definitely something we need to look into. Yeah,
I've often said this before, and as I suppose I know that the authors of projects tend to shy away when you call them developers and chief developers and so on and so forth, because they're parts of teams and they don't want to take kudos away from other people as well. But a question that I've often thought, and I've said quite a lot, is I've talked to people about how they can contribute to open source projects before, and one of the things that I've said to my kind of friends that speak lots of different languages, English is not their first given language, that actually translating an open source project's documentation into another language is probably of a great asset, because what that enables you to say, you had your project translated into Russian or Polish or something like that, you would be able to get those developers and those people interested who are able to read your document involved in that community and bring in their experience and their ideas and their, I mean, what's your thoughts
definitely
on that?
I mean, definitely. I mean, the part of it being open source is that it's not restricted, you know, to the UK where it was built, but anyone around the world can contribute with so many different types of expertise or knowledge. Surprisingly enough, we do have a big Asian following from China, Japan. We get a lot of downloads from there. Not so much feedback or contributions, but they seem to download it quite often. So yeah, to get them involved and writing documentation or giving it some feedback would definitely be a benefit to the project.
Awesome. So as far as Dan Vulnerable Web App is concerned, download it. Now, I've heard you say this before, and I know you're going to echo it right now. Do not install this on an internet-facing machine.
Definitely.
Not unless you've been drinking tequila and want to shoot yourself in the head afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. it's surprising. I mean, I put warnings wherever a warning will fit on the application, you know, to warn people not to put it on internet-facing servers, but you'd be surprised how often it does happen. Some people even email me their IP address with Dan Vulnerable Web App installed on it. Just probably not the brightest thing in the world to do.
Just in case the listeners don't get what we're saying, is that this is an incredibly vulnerable web application. If you put it on internet facing, there's a good likelihood that we'll coin the term here, your box is going to get popped.
Definitely. I mean, it's a certainty. It's not even a maybe or could be. It's going to get hacked. You leave this up on, even if you've got it up for half an hour, an hour, I wouldn't advise it at all. Just don't do it. I've taken some measures to stop people doing that. Obviously, some people do take those measures out for whatever
silly
reasons they have.
That's a very responsible approach there, Ryan. I mean, you'd probably find a lot of other developers in that kind of area would go, well, I put the warnings up, and if you're stupid enough not to read the warnings, then you're, you know, thus you should get what you deserve. But it seems like you've appreciated that that's a real life problem, and that, you know, sometimes we have to take ownership ourselves to ensure that this doesn't happen. I mean, my recommendations, I know your recommendations to use, is it the XAMPP?
XAMPP, yeah.
Yeah, a great recommendation. Definitely either use XAMPP. I myself, I stuck it in a virtual box, and I used a program from, there's an organization called Turnkey Linux, and they do a very nice Ubuntu-based LAMP server. It's like 120 meg or something like that. It stores really fast. I stuck that into a virtual box and then put your application on it, and then I can snapshot it. And then whatever happens then, doesn't matter. And obviously, you know, the same with XAMPP as well. And it's the same theory. I mean, if you put it on a real-life web server, you know, you may have to pay the price at some point to the fiddler, that's for sure.
Definitely. One thing we have been considering is putting DVWA on a live CD anyway.
Okay.
So as well as having the sort of just the raw PHP code and downloading that and setting up the web server yourself, it's having a live CD with a web server already set up and DVWA already installed.
Well, as a side note, I have Damn Vulnerable Web App already set up on a straight Ubuntu LAMP server, nothing else. And Turnkey give you the ability to turn that into a live CD. So I could probably talk to you after this call and see if we can jiggery poke and make a live CD, because, like I say, I think you're right. If you could put it onto a live CD,
It's much more secure for the user as well.
Yeah. So as a quick kind of crash course, what would be your recommendation to a new user wanting to play with your application and learn a little bit? You know, I'm meaning by that, you know, what sort of tools would you recommend that they use and try?
Yeah, well, it's Damn Vulnerable Web App is, it doesn't require any prior knowledge, basically. It's there to teach you. So we're not expecting you, we've made it as easy as possible for the beginner to use. On each vulnerability page, you'll notice if anyone downloads it, there's a more info at the bottom with links to give more information on those vulnerabilities. I mean, that's probably enough for anyone to get a taster and start exploiting these vulnerabilities. But what I would really recommend is a book called the Web Application Hacker's Handbook.
Okay.
I don't know if you've read that yourself. It's an amazing book. It covers lots of stuff in there. It's easy to read, and it's like my Bible for web application security. It's got the pride place on the bookshelf.
Awesome. And now I think we've talked about the project. I'm also incredibly desperate to speak to you about your university degree. As some of the HPR listeners will know, and some of them won't know, I also have studied an ethical hacking degree at another part in the UK. Ryan and myself, we're part of this new breed of British academic organizations realizing that there's an absolute need for degree-qualified ethical hackers to be placed into the workplace. So I'd love to pick your brains about that for a little bit, if that's okay with you, buddy.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm doing ethical hacking for computer security. It's a Bachelor of Science degree, honors degree, at Northumbria University in Newcastle. Basically, it's a four-year course, a sandwich course, so you do 2 years of classroom learning, as you would in any university. Third year is a placement, so you go out and actively find work, get a job in the industry, gain valuable experience, and then you come back for the final year and finish off your university degree. So what we learn is we do stuff like, we do computer system fundamentals, which is your processor, your memory, how all that works. We do databases. We started off with Oracle, and we learn SQL. We did computer crime investigation, network technology, programming in C, and obviously ethical hacking. We also do consultancy projects with companies outside the university to give us real world experience as well. So yes, it's definitely a great course. And if you're interested in security and you want to make it into a career, I definitely recommend going for an ethical hacking degree. And Northumbria is not the only place in the UK, as you said. You was I can never remember the name of the place. Aberdeenshire, was it?
Aberdeen,
yeah.
Aberdeen. If you're in the UK, bearing in mind that me and Ryan are not UCAS, we're not a list of universities, and we can't tell you where all of them are. But my understanding is that there is the University of Abertay Dundee, which is University of, what's your one again?
Northumbria.
Yeah.
Northumbria and Newcastle.
I believe Coventry University as well.
Coventry.
Is doing an ethical hacking course.
Yeah.
I think there's
also Sunderland. I think that it's not live yet, but they're starting to. Which looks quite interesting, and there's a few here and there popping up all the time. I think now it's catching on, really,
and
catching on.
University of Abertay Dundee as well, although I'm not at the university anymore. They've also started a master's in ethical hacking and security as well, because of how popular it's been. And the master's, I believe, is into its second year now, and the numbers up and up and up. Ethical hacking at Abertay is just, numbers keep on doubling each year. I imagine your lecturers at your university are pretty much saying the same thing to you as well, that it's not a downturn.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were the first users, first students to ever do ethical hacking at Northumbria University. So I only have this year's students to compare to, and it's definitely doubled from last year to this year. And so it looks very popular course.
What was your favorite module then? I mean, I know you're going to say ethical hacking, because what other ethical hacking student's not going to say that? But what did you start doing that you thought you made, you know, that you didn't think you'd like, and you thought, Jesus Christ, actually I really did like this? Is there any particular module that you know, you went in there thinking, nah, this isn't for me, and left there going, I really learned something interesting there?
Mm-hmm. I think I found networking the hardest. I've never had the chance, with not being at university, to play around with, you know, enterprise hardware, and I've always set up networks, you know, just a home network. So I found networking the most difficult at first, and until I got into it, and I found that I learned the most from that module, and now thoroughly enjoy it. That's definitely my favorite module at the moment, as well as ethical hacking, of course.
Unfortunately, the anticlimax that I went in expecting databases to be dull, and surprise, surprise, that's exactly what they were.
I didn't. Yeah.
I
didn't catch on to that either, to be honest. I didn't.
Sorry for all you database people out there. I mean, I'm sure that stuff just rocks your world, but. Yeah, as an ethical hacker, it's
as long as I can inject it, that's what I'm bothered about.
All we want to do is export the table or drop it, one of the two. You know, we don't really we're not really interested in much more.
No.
What kind of modules have you? Oh, you're going into your third year next year, aren't you? So you're going out on work placement. Is that correct? Yeah.
I am. Yeah.
And have you?
I am. I'm still looking for a placement, so if there's any listeners wanting to take me on, or if they're interested, if you can get in contact with me, that'd be brilliant.
So if there's anyone from the HPR audience in it's Newcastle area, isn't it? Because you're obviously not wanting to travel to America to do a year's
Newcastle place. Preferably, yeah.
Newcastle or Vegas, either or. Newcastle. So if you any HPR listener in the Newcastle, or know someone in there, the absolutely
Hello?
Ethical hacker. Are you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's echoing a little bit.
All right. Anyone in the Newcastle area or know someone in the Newcastle area that you know can think that they can help Ryan out, do drop him a line. I've talked to people about this before. You can't ask for anything more than a tamed geek, apart from a tamed geek ethical hacker. So, you know, definitely a great asset to have for your business for a year. So I suppose the next question that I want to speak to, because, you know, we share similar stories in a lot of ways, Ryan. I was never part of kind of the UK hacking scene. I was a web developer that I was a self-taught web developer who experienced the hacking event that pushed me and drove me forward, and one day I ended up, you know, going on to ethical hacking, and from there on inwards never looked back. So I was never part of almost that Yahoo chat generation of hackers. But I mean, what do you think that the hacking scene in the UK is like at the moment?
I mean, it's obviously not as big as the American one. It's still, in my opinion anyway, it's still maturing, which is great, because it means that there's plenty of opportunity out there within the community. So yeah, I mean, there are conferences popping up here and there, some good conferences down in London. I think they get the Black Hat Europe, is that in London?
Oh, I'm not too sure. I know that they have the Europe. I thought the Europe one might have been in Amsterdam. They had InfoSec in London recently.
That's RSA, I think they have as well.
I mean, my views are is with the university courses. What we're finding is that cities are now, you know, where they may have still had the same number of hackers. They're now quite happily to be able to say, "Oh, I'm at university studying ethical hacking."
And they're coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, the term's being bandied about more, and people are starting to understand. As an ethical hacking student, I'm going to ask you this question, and I almost know the answer. When you first meet someone, how do you tell them what course you're on? Because whenever I first ever met someone and they said to me, "Oh, what are you doing at university?" I says, I'm doing ethical hacking and countermeasures. And they look at you, and you have to repeat yourself again because they didn't understand what you said the first time. Mm-hmm. And then do you get asked this question straight on the back of it? How can hacking be ethical?
Exactly, yeah. what I normally say is I've taken the ethical hacking out of it. When people ask me, I just say computer security.
I had the pleasure of showing potential first years around the university every year, and I used to explain this story to them, and they always used to grab me within about 8 weeks of university and saying, I tell everyone I do a computer security course. And what I've started to do is, at the end of the day, our course has slightly different titles. Yours is Ethical Hacking and Computer Security, and mine was Ethical Hacking and Countermeasures. And whenever I started to get asked, but how can ethical hacking, you know, how can hacking be ethical? And you say,
oxymoron sort of thing.
Like, but you've chosen to look at the first two words of a three-line statement. It's the countermeasures that we're actually here for.
I think hacking only has the bad stigma because of the media in the first place anyway. So it's just a perception that people have, and they just don't really understand the term itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people maybe don't understand is that how actually widespread hacking is. I don't think people realize that it's happening every single day in front of them, and they don't realize it's a clear and present danger every single day out there. And we do need to produce good quality computer graduates with a firm understanding of security, but upon that as well, we need to produce good quality developers with a firm understanding of security concepts. I don't want to pick on developers, but if between the ethical hackers and the developers, if we work together, you know, we could probably secure an awful lot of the internet.
Definitely, yeah, I agree.
I mean, obviously,
I think the third question I get asked straight after what course do you do is, can you hack my boyfriend's email address? That's normally the next question that comes out.
Right. I mean, you're just the legend of my lifetime, because whenever I tell a girl I'm doing ethical hacking, I never see her again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of male ethical hacking students out there that whenever a girl asks them what they're doing, yeah, I'm a firefighter.
Yeah, definitely.
In the interest of trying to keep the show short and not to monopolize too much of your time, what is your advice for someone wanting to get into ethical hacking? I mean, and bearing in mind that the Hacker Public Radio is a widespread audience, mm-hmm. and sometimes going to university isn't an answer that you know, if you're wanting to get into something, you're not about to jump into a university course tomorrow to do it. What would be your advice for someone who just wants to play understanding ethical hacking and wants to just experience it a little bit more? What would your suggestions be to them?
I mean, as you said, everyone is in a different stage in their life, so university might not be the best option for them as it was for me and you at the time. So, I mean, the first thing I'd say is you've got to just read lots, get books, go online, read online, listen to podcasts, just get involved in the community and learn as much as you can. Just never stop learning. And I think if you don't love security or ethical hacking, then don't do it. If you don't have a passion for it, then just don't even start.
I mean, I have to echo exactly what you're saying there. I mean, if you don't love this game, then don't play it.
No, it's not for you. It's something that I love. I have a passion for. I can't wait to get home and read, you know, what's the latest going on in the community. What, you know, what's the latest hack and the newest vulnerability. It's something that I love. And I think if you don't share that passion, it'd be very hard.
Yeah.
For you to learn, definitely.
So, I mean, for me, you touched on some great points there. For me, the greatest skill that you need before you even consider getting into ethical hacking is the ability to research, is the ability to learn, sometimes on your own steam, and sometimes by just using something like Google or whichever search engine you use.
And I think, just taking the initiative yourself to try out the things, obviously in a legal way, on your local network. Just try things, see what happens, see what the responses are. And the best way is to practice and read, and it's definitely the way forward.
Okay, we're getting to this point in every podcast where we say, what's the shameless plug? Is there something that you want to promote or something that you want to share with people? Now's the time to jump in and go for it. Is there anything you want to tell the Hacker Public Radio audience?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think I mentioned before that I'm looking for a placement for next year. Preferably Newcastle area, northeast area, but I am willing to consider anywhere in the UK. Another thing, where if you've downloaded the Vulnerable Web App 105, you would have seen the image on there saying that we're looking for a sponsor. So if you'd like to sponsor Dan Vulnerable Web App and have your logo on there, if you get in contact with me and we can arrange that.
Awesome. Now, Ryan, how can people, have you got a blog? Is that your, could you, have you got a blog address that we can give to people?
Yep, it's www.ethicalhacker.co.uk. The last E is a 3. So ethicalhacker, the last E is a 3, .co.uk. Or you can find me on Twitter. I'm a regular tweeter. You can find me on there, twitter.com/ethicalhacker. Again, the last E is a 3. And if you want to learn more about Damn Vulnerable Web App, it's dvwa.co.uk.
Okay, so that's Ethical Hacker, and it's K3R, the last bit.
That's correct.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you can be found at, also your project can be found on SourceForge, and
yep,
also on dvwa.co.uk.
Yeah.
What's left for me to do now is to once again thank my guest, Ryan Dewhurst, for taking the time to come and talk about his project and his and on the show. It's absolutely awesome. Thank you very much, Ryan.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to come on the show and talk to you.
Awesome.
And your audience.
So all that's really left for me to do is to thank the Hacker Public Radio audience, you guys at home, for listening to us. Before I go, if you like to make a podcast and be part of the Hacker Public Radio production team, almost to say, it couldn't really be any easier. You can record a show on anything that you want. We've had shows on lots of different things, from quitting smoking to brewing beer to hacking web applications. But if there's anything that you want to share, if there's a project that you want to talk about, or a how-to guide that you want to produce an audio version of, then really, you know, get a recording done and contact HPR, and we can help you get that show out. HPR is all about people taking the time and recording shows and making them available for everyone to download. And HPR can't do a show every day if people don't make shows for us. So please, if you do have the time and you want to get involved, that's a great way to help Hacker Public Radio. And you can find the contact details on the Hacker Public Radio site for that. All that's left for me to do is once again thank my guest, thank the listeners, and I look forward to speaking to you all again sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.